The Lord be with you. Christ is risen. Let us bless the Lord. Welcome to worship on this fifth Sunday in the season of Easter. As we worship at home, we do so from the Divine Service, setting 1, page 151 in your hymnal. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hymn number 731, O God, forsake me not. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you have promised, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading for the fifth Sunday of Easter is from the book of Acts, chapters 6 and 7. Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the Righteous One, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You have received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice, and they stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord. Psalm 146 serves as our gradual psalm. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people of God, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, and where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." This is the Gospel of our Lord. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. History books tell us that when the Romans would capture foreign countries, they would sometimes put their captives through a particularly gruesome form of execution other than crucifixion on a cross. They would sometimes take a captive and they would tie him face to face, hand to hand, leg to leg, ankle to ankle with a dead comrade. As the dead body strapped to the living body would decay, the smell and disease of the dead body would destroy the life of the living body. The ancient historian Virgil describes this cruel punishment in this strangely poetic way. The living and the dead at his command were coupled face to face and hand to hand, till choked with stench in loathed embraces tied, the lingering wretches pined away and died. That may seem like a pretty disgusting way to begin a sermon, I know. But it certainly does describe our own spiritual condition pretty well. You and I have been bound from birth to a dead body. It's what St. Paul calls the body of death. Eventually, if not cut free from this body of death, it will kill us all. Each and every one of us have come into this world bound to the original sin of our parents, just as they did to theirs, and so on, all the way back to Adam and Eve. How often have we heard it said, maybe we've said it ourselves, we all come into this world with a clean slate? Well, that would be nice if it were true. It would give each of us at least a chance of remaining free from that body of death that no one wants to be bound to. But according to the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, and the Holy Scriptures always have the final say because they are holy, we are all born sinful and unclean, just as we have confessed both to God and to one another already. That is to say, we are born bound to death because we are born in sin. And the stench and the disease of sin kills everything that it is tied to. The truth is, sin ruins everything that it is tied to. It causes nations to decay, and marriages to fail, and relationships to rot, and individuals to die. It will turn the greatest of good causes into a bad end. It'll cause the most fervent love to turn cold and bitter. Bound to sin, the noblest purposes are destined to corruption. Sin brings decomposition and a stink to everything that it binds itself to and to everyone who binds themselves to it. And the inescapable truth is this: we are all born bound to sin. I know that we would all like to believe that we can flirt with sin without becoming attached to it. At our boldest and most naive, we believe that we can bind ourselves to sin and actually change it, redeem it, even purify it, until, that is, we realize that we can't. The Roman captive must have cried out, "Oh, if only someone would cut me free from this dead body, because I am not able to cut myself free from it, and it is killing me." St. Paul cries the same cry The good that I will to do, I do not, and the evil that I hate, that I do. Who will free me from this body of death? And you and I join our voices with St. Paul and the Roman captive. Oh, if only someone would cut us free of our sin. If only someone would release us from the death that we are bound to and that destroys our life. And the response to our cry is fast and sure and certain. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son to cut us free from the decay and stench and disease of sin that brings death to everyone that it is bound to. And those who have been set free from death express their grateful praise, thanks be to God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Son of God has come into the world to set us free from sin and death. And if the Son sets you free, you better believe that you are free indeed. St. Peter calls Jesus the living stone. He is a living stone because he is alive, and a living stone because he gives life by cutting us free from death. Jesus came into this world to cut us free from sin and death. And he did so by being bound to our body of death by those nails that bound him to the cross. All of our sins were tied onto him, and boy, didn't they stink. And not just our sins, but our sinful nature as well. And sin did to him what it always threatened to do to us. It killed him in a most horrible and a disgusting death. But he is the living stone. Just as he is the living water and the living bread and the living way and the living God. The death he died to sin once for all. For our sake, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And now, having cut the cord that binds us to that old body of death, our Lord binds himself to us that we may now be bound to his body of life. He cut the cords that bound us to the sin of our parents by giving us the new birth of water and the Spirit. Through the waters of holy baptism, we have been born again, not of a mother and a father, but of God. In that holy rebirth, Jesus Christ has set us free from sin and death and tied himself to us for life, even eternal life. So let that picture sink in. Let that picture sink in and picture it in your heart and in your mind. God has bound himself to you. God, the holy, holy, holy God. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgressions, and sin. He has bound you to himself and himself to you. The cords by which he has bound himself to you are his infallible word and his ironclad promise. Bound to Christ by those unbreakable bonds of his love, the cry of the captive is no longer, "Who will set me free?" but rather, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ?" Neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we would only dare to believe this, we who were once bound to a body of death and destined to die, we who have now become a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a nation of people belonging to God, If we would just dare to believe this, who could stop us? Who could stop us from proclaiming the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light? For once we were not a people, but now we are God's people. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. We have been bound to mercy. So now, what will you do with that life that you have been given? Bound to Christ Jesus, and Jesus Christ bound to you. What kind of person will you strive to be? What kind of people will we strive to be? What kind of church will we strive to be? Certainly, we begin both individually and corporately right where Peter began this chapter. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. The Old Testament verse that is most frequently quoted in the New Testament happens to be Psalm 118, verse 22. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. It is a sad truth, isn't it? Maybe the saddest truth that there is, in fact, that a person to whom Christ has bound himself by his word and promise, through the waters of holy baptism, by the giving of the Holy Spirit, may, as strange as this sounds, still cry that old cry, "Who will cut me free from this body of life?" The temptations that surround us are great, I know that. And they are clever, and they are cunning, and you know that. They are experts in creating desires in us for all kinds of things that they need us to buy, either with money, or with time, or personal devotion. And some of them are quite innocent. But some of them are not, because they require us to bind ourselves to that from which Christ has set us free, and that he himself will not bind himself to. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Our Lord's Easter victory is the victory over every temptation that has enticed us and led us to reject the living stone and to be bound by a millstone. In the 8th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel, we read that account when Jesus sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, where he meets a man who is bound with chains and shackles and lived among the tombs. Here is a man who is truly bound to death. Our Lord cuts right through those chains and those shackles with his two-edged sword of his word to set this man free. And I'm telling you, he can do the same for you. In the 11th chapter of St. John's Gospel, we read that account of Jesus at the tomb of his friend Lazarus, who has been dead for 4 days. He calls his friend by name, "Lazarus, come out." And the man who had died came out, his hands and his feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. And he said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." And I'm telling you, he has done the same thing for you. Jesus gave his disciples the keys that set us free from the sin and the death that we are bound to. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." These keys are an office and power given by Christ to the church for the binding and the loosing of sin. They loose the chains and shackles that bind us to sin and death with the proclamation of the absolution, "I forgive you all of your sins." They bind us to the one who forgives us all of our sins and binds us to his life. So, Besides being the sixth Sunday of Easter next Sunday, it is also St. Patrick's Day on the church's calendar. And I know that I'm a week ahead of myself here, but hymn number 604 in our hymnal is attributed to St. Patrick. This wonderful text connects so closely to the theme that we've been following here that I couldn't resist but having us hear it. I bind this day to me forever by power of faith, Christ's incarnation, his baptism in the Jordan River, his cross of death for my salvation, his bursting from the spiced tomb, his riding up the heavenly way, his coming at the day of doom. I bind unto myself today the power of God to hold and lead, his eye to watch, his might to stay, his ear to hearken to my need, the wisdom of my God to teach, his hand to guide, his shield to ward, the word of God to give me speech, his heavenly host to be my guard. Against the demon snares of sin, the vice that give temptation force, the natural lusts that war within, the hostile foes that mar my course, or few or many, far or nigh, in every place and in all hours, against their fierce hostility, I bind to me those holy powers. St. Patrick is able to bind unto himself the living God. Because the living God has bound himself to St. Patrick, and I am telling you that he has bound himself to you. And having now been set free from your body of death and bound to him who is your life, we proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. Thank you. Let us pray for all of the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty Father, your Son has revealed you to us as a merciful Lord. Give to us your Holy Spirit that we may believe in him whom you have sent and do the greater works that he has told us we will do in his name. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you have promised to build up your church to be a holy priesthood, that your people might offer the spiritual sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving that are acceptable to you. We pray that you would bless your church and bring all congregations together. Bless all pastors who proclaim Christ to us. Bless the men who have been called to serve your church and who are now finishing their studies for graduation. Especially do we pray for Ben and for his family. We pray that your church may be supplied with faithful leaders and pastors and servants of your word. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, your power brought all things into being, and still you preserve what you have made. Therefore, we pray that you would bless the President of the United States, the Congress of this country, our governor of this state, and all elected and appointed civil servants, so that they may honor you and your purpose, establishing order and justice, encouraging virtue, and protecting all life. We pray that you would give wisdom and moderation to those in their leadership roles for the well-being of this nation. Lord, in your mercy. O merciful Father, you have compassion upon the sick and those in need, and have promised not to ignore them in their afflictions. And so we pray that you would turn back this pandemic from across the globe and give us relief. We pray that you would bless the sick with healing, those who suffer with strength and patience, and the dying with your peace. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, you have established the home and blessed those who show us your love. We pray that you would bless all mothers and the children in their care. Bless all families and make their homes places of blessing and love, where your word is spoken, forgiveness reigns, love is displayed. Give us good examples to inspire youth to all that is good and pure, and to seek after these things. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you have given us the wisdom of faith, that through the Spirit we might know your Son to be the way, the truth, and the life. Bless all those who teach and all those who learn, that the goal of all knowledge may be to know Christ and to make him known to all. Do not let your word be bound, we pray, but let it have free course among us. Preserve those in isolation from idleness, and instead let our minds be renewed in scripture and prayer. Lord, in your mercy. Compassionate Father, you are not aloof from the needs of this body and life, and you have called us to love our neighbor in need and give aid to the poor. We pray that you would give us courage and faith, that we may not fear sharing the resources that you have supplied with those who live in want, especially the widow, the orphaned, and the unemployed. Let love be perfected among us to drive out all selfish fears. Lord, in your mercy. We praise you, O God, for your goodness in hearing the prayers of your people, and granting us confidence to approach your throne of mercy. Hear us now in the name of and for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, both now and forevermore. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.